There you go. You're fortunate you're not in Russia. Maybe for several reasons, but one is a couple sermons on any given Sunday is not all that unusual. Maybe even three, maybe even four, if the Lord so moves. Which sometimes isn't that bad of an idea, actually. It's good to know that that God is gifting people and helping them go beyond themselves. I don't know if you realize how difficult it is to stand up and talk in front of a group of people. Michael, I just wanted to say that in seminary in Portland, I had a speech class. That was the first class that to introduce homiletics and all of that. Homiletics is the art of preaching. And in the speech class, I survived it. But at the end, the professor, who was also a speech therapist, wanted me to come in and have a conversation and thought I had a speech impediment until she found out that I was raised by a mom and dad from Arkansas. And then they decided, it's okay, there's no speech training that's going to help you. You slur and you do weird things at the end of words and sentences, so that just kind of hung in there. And then we moved into homiletics courses, and I remember very vividly standing in the chapel, which is probably about this size, and 10 students were placed strategically throughout the room, and then the professor was in the back, and we would give, I don't know, 5 or 6 sermons during the year, and we'd have to listen to these guys preach, and then they'd have to listen to us preach, and then the fun part happened. We'd go back to class, and they'd evaluate us. That was scary stuff, I'll tell you. And the professor of my first speech class was probably my favorite preacher in the whole world, Rod Allen. And he is just an amazing preacher. And I'm thinking, this guy's got to listen to 5 of my sermons. You know, oh, Lord, why? Why him? So anyway, and then the next year, they kind of unleashed us on the churches that we were going to, you know, the pastors were very gracious to give occasion. Maybe it was a Sunday school class to preach a sermon, or maybe it was I think I preached at in Milwaukee at an evening service once. I think the pastor allowed me to do that. And but it's all part of us working out our salvation together. Well, because part of working out our salvation is recognizing our calling, recognizing what God is doing in us uniquely, and the body encouraging us and helping us and even critiquing us. And so I am sure that if you have something positive and encouraging to say to Michael, that he would enjoy that. And if you have something that is constructive to say as well concerning his presentation or what he has to say, he would welcome that as well. We are a body. We live together, we work together, and we learn together. So we are thankful for that opportunity. Thank you, Michael, for encouraging us this morning. So my sermon is kind of decreased to give time for what Michael had to say. And I just wanted to jump on that in the sense of community, because we've been talking about the outcome and application of being in the community of Christ, and how the community of Christ helps us keep listening to God's Word, in particular, as I related that to the seed sower parables, and how various things in this world can keep us from hearing God and choking out His Word. And I found this cartoon this week, speaking about communities and the name of our church. You see what's back there? There's 3 churches in a row. First Community Church, Second Community Church, Third Community Church. And the guy said, maybe we need to define community. That's unfortunate, but rather true. Community can become something that is just narrow focused, right? Depending on your definition. We want to expand that a little bit this morning. Try to expand that. There should be a blank one there. Maybe not. There you go. So, let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning, and I just thank you for this opportunity to take a quick look at Colossians and just see the connections that are made there by Paul. Help us, Lord, to see those connections, to gain a broader view of community, and Lord, to begin to consider how to participate in the community that you have placed us in Jesus' name, amen. So the church is a place to work out our salvation, to learn how to put into practice the life of Christ. And we've just been talking a little bit about how the church can help us keep listening to God's Word. That's just one aspect of it. The community of faith is a place where we can learn to move from the preoccupation of the worries of the world toward prayer and peace that guards our thoughts and our emotions. The community of faith is a place where we can learn to move from the captive deceitfulness of riches toward giving and generous lifestyles. The community of faith is a place where we can learn to move away from the self-centered desires for other things toward caring for others as we would ourselves. And why? Why is it that kind of a place? Well, as was quoted this morning by Michael from Philippians, because God is at work in us both to will and to work His good pleasure. So we've heard a little bit from letters from Paul to the Ephesians, to the Philippians last week, and this week the Colossians, and I hope that you're gaining a sense of the community that we are and that we can be, the opportunity that lies before us because of our great God and because of His salvation in our lives. So turn to Colossians chapter 1. And when I read this scripture, we've already read it this morning. When I read it, this introduction and then this prayer that Paul gives for the Colossians, I saw connections. And I know part of the reason I saw connections was because this week I went to a monthly prayer and encouragement time that I've been going to for 25 years. Some of the guys that are a part of this, I've known that long. And we've been meeting in the fall, the winter, and the spring for over 25 years. Can you believe that? CMA pastor in Blaine, CMA pastor in Ferndale, a CMA pastor in Mill Creek. We've added, the last couple of years, a CMA pastor from Langley. A former CMA pastor from Haynesville. Anybody know where Haynesville is? On the peninsula. Great little place. Fun place to visit. A church planter in Oak Harbor. We meet and we talk and we've support one another, and this, the connections that I find there have been most encouraging in my life. And it hit me as we were sitting there talking about the possibilities of networking, how vacant that part has been for the church life in Granite Falls. Somehow, community has been defined as us rather than us. And I was saddened because you all have not benefited as I have benefited. So let's just look at that this morning and think a little bit about what is going on in relationship to connections. In just about all of Paul's letters, the opening words, in those opening words, he freely makes connections for the purpose of fostering unity. He often cites common source, common purpose, common mission, common relationships. The church is local because all these letters, for the most part, are written to certain congregations with particular issues. But behind these letters is a mission, and behind these letters is something so much more than the local church. God is at work here and there and there and there and there and there. So let's look at some of those connections. The first connection I just want to share is an obvious connection with Father God. He is our common source of life. We acknowledge that all good things come from Him. Paul says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. By the will of God. He is who he is by the will of God. This isn't according to his will. It isn't according to even to his plan. It's not his idea. Who he is by the will of God. And he acknowledges that, and he bows before that will. We often marvel at Paul's strength and his endurance and his perseverance. But you've got to remember that behind all of that is the recognition of who he is and what God has called him to be and to do. It's so vital, that connection that he has with the Father and the Father's will. Yes, he is Jesus' special messenger, an apostle, or Jesus' sent one, but it's by the will of the Father. So look at Paul's claim in chapter 1, just a few verses down. Let's see if we can advance that slide for you that don't have. There we go. If you can read it. But I'll read it to you, or you can follow with me, starting in verse 24. I'm going to have to get a bigger Bible. This print is just too small. Sorry. Verse 24 through 29. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. What an interesting statement. Worth meditating on. Of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to His saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul says, we proclaim Him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Paul knew who he was. He knew his calling. And in his calling, it wasn't just a general preaching calling. It was a calling to particularly bring the good news of that Christ can be in you, that He is your life, that He is your hope, He is your Savior, to the Gentiles. Wow, what a calling. Can you imagine that? Talk about a whole new paradigm. Talk about a whole different way of thinking. Paul was given that stewardship to bring this good news to these particular people. And it was all by the Father's will. Now this calling, this particular calling, meant that he would travel throughout the region, and that he would be involved in planting churches, and that he would stay a while. I think the longest he stayed in any particular place was a couple years. And then he would move on. That included three long journeys, three long missionary journeys. It involved a whole network of people that you often hear about, we'll hear about in just a moment. He says in verse 2, back in chapter 1, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. See, you see, he acknowledges, even in his opening statement and in his thankfulness for these saints and his greetings to them, that this Father who has appointed him to such a task is our Father. Is our Father. You see the connection? This is our Father. We are the family of God, and because we're the family of God, I can extend His grace and His peace to you. We are a community. And this launches His prayer for these particular Christians. We are in His family. We share in His spiritual blessing, grace, and peace. I hope you sense that, brothers and sisters. I hope you sense the fellowship of the saints, the common connection that we have with the Father, Father God, the source of all good things. He is our Father. We also have a connection which just follows with Jesus. So Paul says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, who are at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, just acknowledging this family, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith, where? In Christ Jesus, and the love which you have for all the saints. You see the connection. He reiterates that connection made between the Father and them, because that connection is also being made between Jesus and the Father. There is this connection. He is Jesus' sent one. Remember when Paul had his eyes opened on Damascus Road? Who did he hear from? Who gave him his charge? Jesus. That's right. He is Jesus' messenger. That's what apostle means, the sent one, to do Christ's bidding. He also acknowledges this connection with them because he calls them faithful brethren in Christ. You understand the significance of that brethren statement? It's about union. It's a brotherhood. And it's based on the common connection we all share with Christ. And what is that connection? He says, he talks about their faith in Christ. There's a common trust, a common faith in Him. And who is he? Well, it just so happens that in this particular letter, probably the occasion is that there are some Greek philosophies that are being spread throughout their area that would somehow make Christ less. Somehow make Christ less. That was always the attempt, and continues to be the attempt. Instead of Jesus being sufficient, as we sang this morning, you need something else. It's always Jesus plus something. In the early church, the addition was usually some kind of Jewish custom, some kind of Jewish law, in addition to Jesus. Well, in these Greek communities, that attempt was being made, but it was philosophies, Greek philosophies, that added to Jesus. It didn't take out Jesus, but it added to Him. Jesus wasn't enough. So Paul is writing these people, encouraging them that Jesus is enough, actually. So he says in chapter 1, 15, as he launches into that conversation, emphasizing this connection with Jesus, he says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones and dominions or rulers or authorities, or all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything." Wow. That connection with Jesus. That's one of the things that attracted me to the Christian Missionary Alliance, was that connection with Jesus. He is our Savior. He is our sanctifier. He is our coming King. He is our healer. Savior focuses on the past. Sanctifier focuses on the present. Coming King focuses on the future. Healer focuses on life. I live because Christ is sustaining me. He's the very breath of my existence. I live because He lives. It's in Him that I find my sustenance, my nourishment, my life. Whether I'm sick or well, He is my life. He is my sustenance. Kit and I, when we came to Christ, we came to Christ during a time when a movement was occurring in Southern California and then branched out from there. It was called the Jesus People. Anybody heard about the Jesus People? Yeah, I had hair down to here. And but there was the good part. There was a lot of not so good parts, but there was a good part, and the good part was identification with Jesus. We are Jesus' people. Identification with Jesus. He is who we belong to. We follow Him. It's His way that we're concerned about. It's His will that we want. That connection with Jesus, Paul makes loud and clear. There's also a connection with the Philippians. We're going to see in a moment that did I say Philippians on your notes? It's supposed to be Colossians. Weird. Colossians. He had never seen the Colossians. He wasn't even the one who planted this church. But do you hear his heart for these people? He had never seen. He did not know them. He knew about them. But listen to him talking about them. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Can you imagine that prayerful connection he is making with these people that he has never seen? He hasn't even texted them. There have been no tweets sent out between him and them. There's no Facebook page. It's a connection of family. Connection through Jesus. And he says, "We've always praying for you." And in verse 3, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints." It's based on hearing. We're going to see who that hearing is from in a moment. But based on hearing, and even the hearing caused Paul to fall down and pray. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you. Do you hear that? in you has been doing. It's not past tense, it's present tense. Yes, you receive that gospel, and he identifies it as the grace of God, and it continues to do a work. In other words, these people are working out their salvation. They're learning what it is to live in this new life. They're experiencing it. They're experiencing the challenges of it. They're experiencing the learning of it. They're experiencing the admonishments of it. They're experiencing the repentance of it. But there they are, bearing fruit and ever increasing. Even as it has been doing in you, also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Wow. Just as you learned it from Epaphras. We're going to talk about Epaphras in a moment. Our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on your behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Connection? This prayer connection? Through this prayer connection, Paul is saying that God is at work in you. What has been reported is your faith, your love, your hope. You are a community that is working out your salvation together. You're listening to God, and something is happening within you. Christ is being formed in you. Fruit is evident. You're working out your salvation. You're learning to put into practice your new life in Christ. Paul gives thanks. Praise God. But do you see the connection? Even as Paul prays, he makes that connection. He's never seen them. Look in chapter 2. He says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and to those who are at Laodicea. And for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Paul has that connection with these people. He has never seen them, but because of the life of Christ that is being practiced, learned about, developed, there is that awesome connection. And he says, "We give thanks to God, praying always for you." So much in common. So much in common. It wasn't like, who cares about what happens in Oak Harbor? We live in Granite Falls. Who cares about what happens in Blaine? We live in Granite Falls. Who cares about what happens in Ferndale? We live in Granite Falls. No such thing with Paul. No such thing. No such thing. And he did all of this, brothers and sisters, without email, without tweets, without Facebooks. What was his social connection with these people? What was his social connection? Epaphras. A person. A living, breathing person. So let's look at that connection. And this is where I want to spend the majority of my time this morning, with Epaphras. In verse 7 of chapter 1, Paul says, "Just as you learned it," that is the gospel, the grace of God, "from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf." This was the flesh and blood connection. This is the social connection. So turn to chapter 4, would you? Hear a little bit about Epaphras. We don't know how Epaphras came about to being the emissary, probably of Paul. Most likely he was in Ephesus when Paul was there, heard the message and responded, and went back to his hometown and spoke there as well. Look at verse 12. I'm in 1 Thessalonians. Probably not where we want to read from. That's another thing about these Bibles. Not only is the print so tiny, the pages are so thin. Okay, here we go. Verse 12.
You got a big one behind you.
Thanks. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Wow. Yeah. I'll borrow your large print. Thanks. Because there's more to say. And it's wow, look at that. It's even underlined and everything. What I want you to hear is so Paul has these fellow workers. Epaphras is one of them, a Colossae guy. Who had taken the good news to Colossae and had basically, I think, planted a church. And Paul had never seen them, but he has this connection. And he hears from Epaphras what's going on, and he's praying for these people. And now he's writing them a letter because he's heard of this potential difficulty about Jesus. So I want you to hear that he invites these people to join him. He makes a connection with them. See, behind the formation of Jesus Christ in us, behind the working out of our salvation, as we do in community, behind all that is a mission. And it's always in the background. And the reason we fulfill it and want to fulfill it is because Christ is being formed in us. So Paul, with the assurance that is indeed what's happening to these people, invite him. Listen. Devote yourselves to prayer in verse 2 of chapter 4, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Do you hear him? Do you hear him inviting them into the mission? Do you hear them? He's inviting them. He's making this network connection with them. And then he brings it personally to them. He says in verse 5, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. What a invitation to pay attention to the world around you. Making the most of the opportunity. Using words seasoned with salt. Seasoned with grace as with salt. I think we need to focus on that passage in this day and time. Because so often the language that I hear from Christians is not seasoned with grace. It's seasoned with vinegar. And vile. But now listen. Listen to the network. Listen to the network that he's inviting them into. As to all my affairs, Tychus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. Ah, there's another guy. He's going to bring information because evidently Epaphras is still with Paul in his imprisonment somehow. But he's going to send this other guy to inform them about what's going on. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number. They will inform you about the whole situation. And there's another guy in verse 10. Erasticus, My fellow prisoner sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas' cousin, Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And also Jesus, not the Jesus, but also known as Justice. I think he had to throw that in, you know, the Justice, Jesus, but Justice, right? These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. And then he talks about Epaphras in verse 12. So let's jump down to verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, sends his greetings, and also Demas. Now, for some of these people, they haven't seen these people at all. You hear the connections? Demas, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and also Nympha, a woman, and the church that is in her house. When this letter is read among you, have it also read to the churches of Laodiceans. And you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. And he says, by the way, say hi to Archippus. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Do you miss that? Maybe today, for the first time, you recognize, oh, there's life outside of Granite Falls. God is at work in other places. And maybe, just maybe, being a part of that work in other places would encourage us to work in this place. Do you think? We have a network right here. And that network is, in it, we're working out our spiritual formation. Working out our salvation together. Learning what it is to be followers of Christ and to experience the realities of His life, salvation life that He's given us. But behind that is a mission. And in that mission, we were never meant to be alone, brothers and sisters. I have a short clip I just want to show you at this point by John Stombo. He's the president of the CMA. And this clip has nothing to do with him advocating something, but he is advocating not this particular thing, but something, and that is that we were never meant to live this ministry life alone. Wow. That's hard. I didn't know there was such a place like that. Did you all know that? I know about Park Place. I didn't know there was this weird 2,000-foot thing. Got to try it someday. Anyway, what I like about the Christian Missionary Alliance is that we desire to know Jesus, His sufficiency, and to complete His Great Commission. Kind of simple. Can any of you complain about that? Don't like it. Don't like this idea about Jesus being sufficient. And why do we have to tell other people about Him? My point this morning is that I sorrow over having made those connections, but the church in Granite Falls not having the benefit of making those connections. Of seeing and observing what Paul is seeing. The connections that he has experienced in his life. The joy of watching certain people in that community branch out into other communities, plant churches, network with other Christians, hear reports back from them. We like to do it from a distance, you know. And we call it missions, you know. And let's just fess up, you know, it's kind of a safe thing. It can be a safe thing, right? Because it's way out there and way over there. When we went to Russia, I just so thoroughly enjoyed making that connection with something other than my locale. And then I told you about a month ago, I was able to talk with Vasily, the pastor, who's now living in Chicago, and regain that connection. But I've enjoyed these connections with Blaine and Ferndale and Langley and Mill Creek and Haynesville and now Oak Harbor. And I believe that God will give us opportunity to join in those connections. And I ask you to pray. To finish, Paul says a couple other connections. He mentions in verse 7 of chapter 1 their love in the Holy Spirit. He says, and Epaphras, he has informed us of your love in the Spirit. That's that vital connection. We've heard the connection with Father, Son, and now Holy Spirit. Empowering, teaching, guiding. The Holy Spirit is not our advocate between us and God. That's what Jesus is. The Holy Spirit is the advocate for God to us. It is the Holy Spirit who represents His interests. It is the Holy Spirit that points us in His way. It is the Holy Spirit that enables us to do the will of the Father. To work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And to participate in this network of mission. Both here and the city next door. And the city after that. And in the nation across the sea. And so with all of that, let's read that prayer one more time that Paul prayed for the Colossae that Michael reminded us of this morning. In verse 9 of chapter 1, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank God for His message and for His word and for the life that that word points us toward, the life of Jesus. So part of the joy of working out our salvation is watching those amongst us that just might be called to go someplace else, right? And participating in that connection. Identifying that. Watching that. Helping that. Encouraging that. We've heard from Dale, and Dale has that heart for that kind of ministry. We don't know what the shape of that will be, but we are encouraged by that, aren't we? Michael, we're encouraged by you. Others, Dustin has expressed the same desire. So do you recognize that we have within us that opportunity to recognize, to assist, to help, to encourage, to help these work out their salvation with fear and trembling, because God is at work in them. So, as the Lord takes us where He wants to take us, we want to make sure that it's with the right connections, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and with those that are ministering on his behalf so that we might pray for them and so that we might be encouraged in turn to be able to speak words salted with grace to a larger community that is in so desperate need of Jesus. Lord, we come to you and we thank you for the work that you have accomplished in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, there's not one of us that is accomplished completely. Lord, we are at work because you're at work in us. And so help us, Lord, we turn to you in Jesus' name. Amen.